Today's daf is Shabbos daf Ayin Tes, and we are 10 lines from the bottom of daf Ayin Ches Amid Beis, the two dots, Tanu Rabbanan. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo ben Zara Aliza, Avram ben Gittel, Yitzchak Elio ben Chaya Sara, Avram Kaddish ben Malka Bela, Avram Yikosil ben Gittel, Rafal Chaim Shai Yashav ben Baba Chaya Rivka, Yehuda Leib Chizkiyo ben Basya, Baruch Tzvi ben Shloimez Feiga, Chaim ben Yom ben Mordechai ben Ida, Yael Baz Bela, Chizkiyo Shloimez Ziskin ben Nechama, Yosef Tzvi ben Chana Henela, Yerachmiel Tzvi Moshe ben Chana, and El Yakim Getzel ben Brana Esther. Today's daf is also being learned for Ilui Nishmas, Yechiel Yosef ben Tzvi Betzalel, Shloimez Zeb ben Avram Yitzchak, and Mordechai Ziskin ben Meir Elchanan. So we're continuing to discuss the theme of the last few dafin, which is the halacha of hoitzah, specifically the other klal that the Mishnah mentioned in the end of Paraklal Gadol, which states that the only time somebody is over the malacha of hoitzah is if he carries something that people are machshiv. Not just that, he would have to carry a shear of that thing that people are machshiv. And from there, the Tana of the Mishnah went on to tell us in very great detail different halachas with regards to different items. Are they considered chashiv, not considered chashiv, and what would be the amount of the respective chashiva? So on that note, we have a brisa. Tanu Rabbanan, hamoitzi shtar choiv. If somebody carries a shtar choiv on Shabbos, so there's a sugya in Shnayim Moichsim that talks about hamoitzi shtar choiv. If somebody finds a shtar choiv in the world of Eilu Mitzia Shaloiv, Eilu Chayiv Lahachris, but Shnayim Moichsim b'shtar, here we're discussing hamoitzi in the Shabbos context. If somebody would carry a shtar choiv, mirshus l'rishus. So the question is he chayiv or is he not chayiv? Meaning, is a shtar choiv a davar chashuv or is it not a davar chashuv? So says the Braisa, very simple. Actually, paroi, if the one that's carrying that shtar choiv is the malva, he's the lender, and the person that he loaned the money to didn't pay him yet, then the shtar is very valuable. So certainly chayiv, he's going to be chayiv for carrying it on Shabbos. Misha paroi, if however the shtar was paid already, at that point pater, because there's no value to it. Rabbi Yehuda says, even if the loiva paid up the loan already, if the malva would carry the shtar chayiv, the halach is it would be chayiv. Says the Gemara, my benai, what's the beer in the machlokes? Because Amr Rabbi Yosef said, asu lishos shtar perua iku benai. So really, the next 10 or so lines that we're going to learn is where Shabbos meets Shnayim Moichsim, or in other words, where Shnayim meets Maseches Ksubis. So we're going to have a smorgasbord of ideas that are discussed in great detail in some of the biggest sugyas in Shas. But for now, Rabbi Yosef said, perhaps the machloikis between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda in this braisa is whether or not there's an isser for a malva to keep a shtar that was already paid or not. How so? Rabbanon Savri, the Rabbanon, as in the Tanakama hold, also lisha shtar perua, that it's also for a malva to keep a shtar that was already paid around. The reason is because we're concerned that he may be tempted to use the shtar and double dip and ask the loiva for payment a second time. And even if he promises and he says he's not going to, but Rashi says it's an idea that a person shouldn't allow a michshol to even be in his midst. So it's for that reason he's not allowed to have the shtar perua in his rishos. If he's not allowed to have the shtar perua in his rishos, then it's certainly not chashuv. It's not a dover shematzni in oisai. It's not something that people store away. To the contrary, you have to get rid of it. If you have to get rid of it, if you would carry it on Shabbos, you're not going to be chayv. Rabbi Yehuda Savra, Rabbi Yehuda holds mutal lish shtar perua. Rabbi Yehuda holds no such issa to keep a shtar perua. If that's the case, the shtar perua is going to have value as well. Now, what are you going to do with a shtar perua? If it's not paid yet, you can collect. But once it's paid, what can you do it? So it's like the Gemara says throughout Noshim and Azikin, you can use it lotzer apitzluchisai. You can use it to tie a jug, to use it for something mundane. But the point is, it's not something that people would necessarily throw away. And being that people wouldn't necessarily throw it away, the halacha is going to be chayv. So according to the Tana Kama, if somebody carries a shtar chayv that's already paid up, he's going to be potter. According to Rabbi Yehuda, if somebody carries a shtar chayv that's already paid up, he's going to be chayv. Says the Gemara, what's the hesber in the machloikis? Whether asur lishay shtar perua or
mutter lishay shtar perua. If also lishay shtar perua, it's not a davar shematznian. The halacha is you're going to be potter. If mutter lishay shtar perua, then it is a davar shematznian, because even though you can't collect from it a second time, however, you can use it latzra pitzul chisay. That's enough to give it some sort of value that if somebody carries it on Shabbos, he's going to be chayv. Abaye said a different pshat. He said the kulam al also lishay shtar perua. Could be everybody holds it. You're not allowed to keep a shtar perua around. V'hacha over here, the machloekis is something else. B'moide b'shtar shekosvoy shetzorich lekaymoy. Come to forget. The machloekis is moide b'shtar shekosvoy. If the loiva admits to the malva that the shtar is a legitimate shtar, does the malva have to go now and be Mekayim the Shtar? Or does he not have to be Mekayim the Shtar? So we need a very, very brief introduction. It's a very subtle point in today's daf. So I don't think it's kedai to go too much into the digression. But the halacha is that if somebody has a Shtar that says that he loaned somebody money, even if the Shtar has Aiden, and even though we know that Edom Aksuvim B'Shtar is Kemisha Nechgura Edusim B'Bezdin, but the Rabbanan said that you can't collect with that Shtar unless there was Kiyum Shtaris, unless you prove that the signatures on the Shtar are valid signatures. It's for that reason that if somebody would go over to somebody else and say, I have a Shtar that says that I loaned you $1,000, give me $1,000. The Loiva can say Mezuyef, it's not a real shtar. And being that he could say Mezuyef, so the halacha is, he has a way to get out very easily of the responsibility that the shtar says he has, meaning the malva has to go and prove that the shtar is a legitimate shtar, that the edim are legitimate edim, and only then would he be able to collect. The question is, what happens if the loiva tells the malva, I agree, the shtar is a good shtar. True, it's a good shtar. The malva doesn't have kiyum shtaris, but the loiva tells the malva that the shtar is a good shtar. However, I paid up. So ordinarily, if you have a shtar that has edim, with Kiyam Shtaris, the loiva has no right to say he paid up, because if you pay, then how come I have the shtar? So the fact that I'm holding the shtar is always the biggest raya that the loiva who says that he paid up is not telling the truth. But being that over here the shtar didn't really have Kiyam Shtaris, and the only reason that the malva would even be able to collect is because the loiva admit that the shtar is a legitimate shtar. So there is a mandama that says that it could be at this point, if the loiva would then say perua, he would be believed. And Pashit, the reason is because he has a migu. He has a pesha asa, pesha hitter. If the loiva wanted to, he could have just said mezuyev, and he would have been believed. The fact that he said it's a legitimate shtar, and then immediately afterwards he went that he said perua, over here we'd believe him. Meaning, ordinarily we wouldn't believe him to say perua. But being that over here we don't have kiyum shtaris, which means we only know the shtar is a good shtar because of what he said, so it's for that reason there is a manda amar that holds that moide b'shtar shekosvu at that point sorach l'kaimoy, so that if the loiva would say parua, the malva would have to go be mekayim the shtar, and if the malva can't be mekayim the shtar, he's not going to be able to collect with the shtar. The other manda amar argues, he holds moide b'shtar shekosvu in sorach l'kaimoy, that for whatever reason there is no pesha asa pesha hitter, and the halacha is, I don't have to be mekayim the shtar. Says the Gemara, Abaye said that it could be the machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chum and our Mishnah, is that machloikis, where the moide b'shtar shekosvu tzorach l'kaimoy or ain't tzorach l'kaimoy. Again, everybody holds you're not allowed to keep a shtar perua in your rishos, meaning even Rabbi Yehuda, and that's not the beer in the machloikis between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda and our Braisa. Rather, the machloikis is moide b'shtar shekosvu tzorach l'kaimoy or ain't tzorach l'kaimoy. Tanakama holds moide b'shtar shekosvu tzorach l'kaimoy, that the halacha is that once the loiva is moide and then afterwards says parua, the halacha is the malva can't collect with it unless he's mekayim the shtar. Being that if Rabbi Yehuda sub Rabbi Yehuda holds moide b'shtar shekosvu ain't tzarach l'kaimei. Okay, what does it have to do with anything? Umay actually paru b'shapare. And when we had a machlokes tanakam Rabbi Yehuda in this brisa, whether if somebody carries after it was already paid would be chayiv, it doesn't mean whether it was physically paid. Everybody holds that if the loiva paid, at that point, you're not allowed to keep the shtar around. So everybody would agree that if the malva would carry it, the halach is he would be potter, because it has no value. You can't even use a lotzer or pitzul chisoy. In fact, there's an issa to keep it in your rishos. But what the machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbana was not whether it was paid or not, but rather, atcheyoymer haloiva paraiti valoi paraiti. The question is, if the loiva would say paraiti, not pay, he would taina paraiti, What do you mean, taina paraiti? You're talking about where a malva pulled out a shtar that had no kiyum shtaris, and the loiva was moide b'shtar shekasvu. However, he said paraiti. So if you hold that moide b'shtar shekasvu tzarech l'kaimi, that means the shtar right now you can't collect with. If you can't collect with it, then the halach is if you would carry it on Shabbos, you're going to be potter. Because to the extent that I can't collect with this shtar right now the way it is, so that means it's not chashiv. If I carry it on Shabbos, I'm going to be potter. That's what the Tana Kama holds. Rabbi Yehuda holds moide b'shtar shekasvu ain't tzarech l'kaimi. So if ain't tzarech l'kaimi, so even though the loiv is the one who said the shtar is a good shtar, and then he said paraiti, it doesn't matter. The bottom line is he never believed to say paraiti. At this point, you're moide b'shtar, so we listen to that, and I don't have to be mekayim shtar. If I don't have to be mekayim shtar, I could collect with my shtar. So if I could collect with my shtar, it's chashev. If it's chashev, I'm going to be chayev. But again, the point that Abai is making is, number one, the beer in the machlokes is moide b'shtar shakos v'tzarech l'kaimi, yeren tzarech l'kaimi. But he's also saying a chiddush in the case of the Braisa. The case where Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim were arguing is not Misha Paroi, but rather the case of the Machloikis is where the Loiva said Parua. If he said Parua, at that point, there's a mandama that holds. This is where it would play out a nafkamina. If I can use the shtar, that it's valuable at that point. If I would carry, I'm chayiv. If I can't use the shtar, then it's not valuable. If I would carry, I'd be potter. Rav Amar, Rav has had a third tariff. Skuli Yamal, Moed B'Shtar Shekos V'Sarach L'Kaim. Maybe everybody holds Moed B'Shtar Shekos V'Sarach L'Kaim. V'Hachah B'Kois Fin Shoyver Kam Mifliki. Here the Machlokes is something else. The Machlokes is, there were different Minhagim in Klal Yisrael once upon a time. Somebody lends somebody money, and then he pays up. So naturally, the loiva is going to tell the malva, I want the shtar back. The question is, could the malva tell the loiva, I'm keeping the shtar, but I'll give you a receipt? Here's a receipt that shows and proves that there was payment. Says the Gemara, could be that's the machloikis over here. Meaning, if you hold that koisvin shoifer, so then the malva doesn't need the shtar anymore once it's paid. And the reason is because what would he need it for? He can't collect with it. He has no responsibility to give it back to the loiva because he can just give a shoiver to the loiva. However, if you hold in koisvin shoiver, then the malva has no choice but to give the shtar back to the loiva. Being that he has to give the shtar back to the loiva, so it comes out that the shtar is valuable. So the machloikis, whether or not somebody is chayef for carrying the shtar perua on Shabbos, is totally in whether or not the malva needs the shtar perua. What does that depend on? Koisvin shoiver, ain't koisvin shoiver. If koisvin shoiver doesn't need the shtar perua anymore. If ain't koisvin shoiver, he needs the shtar perua. He needs it to give back to the loiva. Says the Gemara, and then meaning Tanakama Sover Kois Fin Shoifer. The Rabbi Yehuda Sover ain't Kois Fin Shoifer. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, ain't Kois Fin Shoifer. The Malva needs it. If the Malva needs it, if you would carry it, it'd be Chayv. Rav Ashi said a fourth teretz. He said that the Machloikis, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Tanakama has nothing to do with all these different super sugyas. Also, Lishish Starpero, Mutta Lishish Starpero, has nothing to do with Moide B'Shtar Shekos V'Tzarech L'Kaimai, Ain't Tzarech L'Kaimai. It has nothing to do with Koisvin Shoiver, Ain't Koisvin Shoiver, all sugyas that are Oimdim Berumai Shaloylam. But rather, Rav Ashi said it's a more Balavata Shepshat. Rather, Bebne Shetzarech Laharis the Balchoiv Sheini, the Omale Chazi Gavre de Parano. So, first of all, Rav Ashi is going to switch something in the Machlokes as well. Rav Ashi says that the Machloikis is not where the malva carried it, but rather the machloikis is where the loiva carried it. So we're discussing the loiva carrying a shtar perua, meaning for the malva, shtar perua has no value. So if he carries it, he's for sure going to be potter. Rav Ashi said that when Rabbi Yehuda said in the Braisa that if somebody carries the shtar perua, he's going to be chayev, he was referring to the loiva, because to the loiva, the shtar perua has value. Why does it have value? Because it shows that he's credit worthy. It shows that he pays his loans. And if he pays his loans, so it helps his credit score. It allows him to be able to borrow money in the future. So Rav Ashi held that the loiva who would carry a shtar perua would be chayev. So again, we had a braisa that brought a machloikis between Rav Yehuda and the Tana Kama, also known as the Chachamim. If somebody carries a shtar chayev, where the loan was paid already, is he going to be chayev or is he not going to be chayev? According to the Tana Kama, he's potter. According to Rabbi Yehuda, he's going to be chayev. And the Gemara had a very intense, albeit brief, discussion, four different pshatim in terms of understanding what exactly the machloikis was. Rabbi Yosef, Abaya, Rava, and Rav Ashi. Continuing along in the Mishnah. So the Mishnah said, or if somebody would carry or meaning the hide of an animal on Shabbos. So the halach is how much of it would he have to carry in order for him to be chayiv on Shabbos? Kedei lasis kemeya. enough for him to wrap a kemeya in it. We'll see a little bit more about this in the Gemara. Cloth. What if that? If somebody carries a cloth? So then the Mishnah said, it's kidei lichtoivol of parsha ketana shebetfilin. It has to be big enough that he'd be able to write a parsha ketana shebetfilin. So we're going to see in the Gemara, the Gemara is actually going to get a little bit technical and talk about some of the technical nature of hides. So hides were once upon a time what people used if they had to write something. That's why a Sefer Torah is written on a cloth, and all Kisvei Kodesh are written on cloth. Once upon a time, that's the way people used to write things. Now, cloth comes from the hide of an animal. The hide of an animal naturally had to go through some sort of processing before it was at the point where you were able to use it for these things. We'll see later in the Gemara is going to mention that there were three different stages within the processing of hides. The Gemara says, Shloisha oiroisen. There were three types of oirois: matzah, chippa, and diphtera. And they got their names really based on what part of the process they were, how much these hides were actually treated. The Gemara says it was called matzah when it hadn't been treated at all. Then, once it started being treated a little bit, it was called chippa, and then afterwards, it was called diphtera. And we're going to see now that there's nafkaminas potentially in halacha when somebody carries a hide on Shabbos. How much of it would he have to carry? Meaning, how much of it is considered chashev, depending on what step in the process we're up to. Zok de Gemara. Or, if somebody carries hide. So what did we say? It has to be big enough in the Mishnah to be able to wrap an amulet. So we learned a lot about kameyas earlier in the Masechta. But the point is, people would take amulets and they would wrap it inside a little bit of hide. So enough that you could do that. If somebody carries or on Shabbos, how much does he have to carry in order to be chayev? He told him, what do you mean? It's a Mishnah. Or k'dei lasa is kameya. It has to be enough for you to be able to wrap an amulet. Now, it's clear that Rava knew the Mishnah. Rava didn't ask Rav Nachman something that's mefurish in the Mishnah. But as we'll see, he was setting him up. Rava had a lot of follow-up questions, and he was just building up to it. So he said, number one, he asked him something that's obvious, something that's mefurish in the Mishnah. Next question he asked was, v'hama abdi bekamo, if somebody actually tans hide on Shabbos, he goes through the processing, how much of it would he have to be ma'ab? Amalei loishna, same share, meaning enough to be able to wrap a kameya. Le abdei bekamo. Then he asked him, what would happen if somebody took out a ur that hadn't been processed yet, meaning it hadn't been tanned yet? He had in mind at some point to tan it, but it hadn't been tanned yet. So the question is, do you say that it's the same share? Or maybe being that when people used to use ur to wrap a kameya, they would use R that already had been tanned. It had been somewhat processed. They didn't just take the skin off an animal and wrap a kameya in it. They did go through the tanning process on some level. So maybe being that it hadn't been tanned yet, so maybe the share is different. Maybe you would need a larger share. Amalei told him, no, it actually makes no difference. The share is still going to be the same thing. Again, a little bit of a chiddush. And this is going to be the primary topic of the whole Amud Aleph. Why is it a little bit of a chiddush? Because you would think that if I carry R that can be used to wrap a kameya right now, then the sheer chashuv should be, is it big enough to be able to wrap a kameya? But if this second I can't wrap a kameya in it, I have to go through some sort of tanning process to get it to that point. So then you would think that maybe the sheer should be different. Maybe it should have to be a larger sheer because it's a less significant item that I'm carrying. Maybe I would need more of it in order for it to be chashuv. Stating that, Rav Nachman told Rav Loishna, it makes no difference. So the Gemara says, not tamro. So Rav asked Rav Nachman, how do you know that? So Rav Nachman said, I'll tell you, kitatnan. I learned it from a Mishnah later in the Masechta. Malabin. The Mishnah over there is discussing the different malachis that were done with wool. So it says the Mishnah, if somebody whitens wool, v'amenapi, somebody disentangles the wool. Hatzaveh, somebody dyes the wool. V'atoveh, somebody spins the wool. These are four of the Lamentas malachis. Shiyurei, how much wool do you have to do with these things in order to be chayiv? Kimloi roichav hasit kafel. It has to be double the width of a sit. What's a sit? That's the space between your index finger and your middle finger. So take that space, double it, that's the shear. Now, if somebody weaves two chutin, that's also one of the lametas malachis. So how large of a stitch does it have to be? Shiura, it's the same thing. Kimloi roich of asset. So Rav Nachman said like this. Alma, you know what you see from the Mishnah? Kimidalatvia koi, shiura ketavi. Meaning, why?
Or mehechatesin, should the shear of melabin and menapit and tzeveya, why should these things be kemaloi roicha vaset? Probably because why you're being melabin and menapit and tzeveya? Why are you doing these malachas? Eventually you're going to spin the thread. Eventually you're going to weave the thread. And the shear of toifa and the shear of oirik shnei chutin, there the shear is kemaloi roicha vaset. So being that the shear over there is kemaloi roicha vaset kafel, so therefore everything leading up to it gets its chashivas based on what we know you're going to use it for. So Rav Nachman said, you see from here, that if I know I'm going to use the wool for weaving, then right now, when we determine whether or not I did a melacha chashuva with the wool, we ask ourselves, would it be, did I do enough so that when I ultimately accomplish my goal, I get to my end game, it would be a shir chashuv. So if I would be malabin enough that when I'm actually toivin, I would be chayiv, so then I'll be chayiv and malabin. So again, hachanami, said Rav Nachman, so I think the same thing should be over here. Kivin de lab de kari, shira kemabit. If somebody takes out an ar, and his intention is to be ma'abid de yar, even though right now he wasn't ma'abid yet, but we determine its chashivos as if it was already mu'ubad, as if you tanned it already. And once you have ur that's mu'ubad, what's the shear? The shear is to wrap a kameh. So therefore, even if you weren't ma'abid yet, the shear is going to be to wrap a kameh. So Rav continued to ask Rav Nachman. He said, what about shaloy la'abdoy bekama? What happens if somebody carries ur on Shabbos and he has no intention to ever be ma'abid this ur? What's going to be the shear then? Amalei, here Rav Nachman already said a bigger chiddush. He said, loishna. I don't think it makes a difference. Same thing. If the shear is going to be, if I was ma'abid it, then it would be based on, is it big enough for me to wrap a kameya? So even though I wasn't ma'abedit, and again, what's the bigger chiddush? I don't even have any intention of being ma'abedit. Still, that's going to be the halacha, says the Gemara. So again, Rava told Rav Nachman, I find this hard to believe. Is there really no difference? And it's going to be mavur in the Gemara that Rava's question wasn't just on the last thing Rav Nachman said. It was on the previous thing as well. Meaning, Rav Nachman's basically saying that even though when the Mishnah said if somebody carries or on Shabbos, or has to be big enough for you to be able to wrap a kameya. And usually when people carried or to wrap a kameya, the or was ma'ubid. But the halacha is that if you carry or that's not ma'ubid, it would be the same shear, big enough to wrap a kameya. And it doesn't matter if your intention is to be ma'abidid or if your intention is not to be ma'abidid. It makes no difference. Or is something that usually is oymed for ibud. And as a result, if you carry enough to wrap a kameya, that's what the shear is going to be. So Rava started asking questions. Isfei, I'll ask you a kasha. If somebody takes herbs that were used for dyeing and they were soaking, so the halach is how much of it would you have to carry in order to be chayiv? Enough to dye a sample, like a swatch that the sellers of these dyes used to use to show potential customers, li'ira, and it has, how big does that sample have to be? Big enough for you to be able to close up the opening of a weaver's bobbin. Okay, so that's the shear of how much of a dye a person would have to carry, assuming the dye was already to be used. It was already soaking in water. Now, the halach is, if somebody carries samarim she'en and shruyim, the halach is tanan, klipi agoiz v'klipi rimoinim, sakta supua, these are different types of dyes. K'day l'tzboim be'beged katan l'fi s'facha, then it has to be a bigger share. It has to be enough dyes for you to be able to dye a small beged that women used to wear on top of their hats. But what do you see from here? You see that there's a difference between the samarim that are shruyim and the samanim that are inan shruyim, samanim that are ready to go, versus the samanim that haven't been processed yet, they haven't been worked yet. Meaning, if they're ready to go, it's a smaller share. If you carry enough, k'day letzpoyim hem dug mali'ira, you're ready to get richai. But if they're not shruyim, then it would have to be a larger share. So again, you see from here that you don't say that being that eventually you're going to soak it, so we look at it as if you soaked it already, l'chumra, that if you carry a small share of it, you're ready to be richai. No, we have to look at the situation the way it is. So Rav asked Marach, what's the difference between the ar? Or, I understand, once it's processed, yeah, then you're going to wrap a kameya. But when it's not processed, you're not going to wrap a kameya. So, l'chura, shouldn't the halacha be that if that when it's not processed, it's a bigger shear? So the Gemara says, Rav Nachman told Rava, aha, itmar Allah, Amr Rav Nachman, Amr Rabbi Ravua, lefisha einadam terech, lishay sammonim, litzpoyim behem dug meleir. No, the difference is very simple. The difference is that if a person has a small amount of dye, he's not going to go through the process of soaking it just to make enough to make this little sample. He's never going to do it. So right now, if you're carrying raw dye, the herbs, the natural herbs, enough that if you would go through the whole process, you'd be able to dye this little swatch. You're not going to be chayev because no one's going to ever take that and actually go through the tircha of making the dye for you to go be able to dye something very, very small. Now, you would do it, kidei letzpoya beged katan, that would be put on top of somebody's head. And that's why if you carry that much, you would be chayev. But that little, a person would never do. And being that a person would never do it, it's for that reason, he's not going to be chayev. In contrast to the ar, a person would take a little bit of ar that's enough to wrap a kameya, and he would process it. So even though right now it's not processed, but presumably at some point you will process it, and it's for that reason you're going to be chayev. So Dr. Gemara, but Rav asked another kashmar. What about seeds? Seeds that people plant in a garden. They become this root of time. If you have the raw seed, the Mishnah says, how much of it do you have to carry in order to be chayev? Pachas make a groigris, even less than a groigris. Rav Amseira said, chamisha, five seeds. But once you planted it already, meaning once you actually have the vegetable that you planted. So the halacha is, zevel v'chol hadak, if somebody takes fertilizer or he takes sand, then it has to be much big. Now you take the vegetable, you take the fertilized land. Once you take the sand, once you take the fertilizer, at that point, the halacha is that if you would carry enough to fertilize a kruv, one stalk of cabbage, you already be chayv to Rabbi Akiva. Chachamim say, no, a little bit bigger. It has to be enough to fertilize a krisha, a leek. But the bottom line is that when you're carrying the seed, it has to be enough to plant a lot. Right? Five seeds, let's say. But when it comes to the fertilized sand, after you planted the seeds already, now you have fertilizer, it's enough, even if you have enough sand to just fertilize one vegetable. So again, what do you see? That in the raw state, it's viewed differently. You would have to carry more in order for it to be considered kosher. So again, Rav asked Rav Nachman, why don't we say that an ur that was processed, that you should be chayv if you carry enough, just to wrap a kameh. But if it's not processed, it should be less chashiv, you should need a larger amount. So the Gemara says, Itmar Allah, Amir Papa, Hada Zaria, Hada Lazaria. Same difference. No, there's a big, it's different if you sowed it and or didn't sow. If you planted it, didn't plant. Why is it different? Because nobody's going to go ahead and plant. You're not going to stand outside, bake in the field, and go through planting and plowing to plant one little stalk of cabbage. No one's going to do that. You'll fertilize one stalk of cabbage, but you're not going to plant for one stalk of cabbage. So the seeds has no chashivas if all it could do is create. Again, somebody will take ar that's big enough to wrap a kameh and process it. So even though it wasn't processed, yeah, we could look at it as if it's processed. Or we can give it its chashivas based on what it would be once it was processed. But one seed, that has no chashivas. I'm going to ask you another kasha from clay. If before clay is needed, we learned to the price. If somebody carries water, wastewater into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, so we saw this already earlier, so how much of it do you have to carry? A revius. So if you tell me you chayiv for carrying shayivchen into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, obviously you must have some chashivas. What is it used for? Rabbi Yirmi said, Lagabo ben Mesatit. That the shayvchen, this wastewater has a chashivas because nobody drank it, but people used to use it. They would knead tit. So tit was used to make utensils. People would knead the tit with water. What kind of water did they use? Water that ordinarily would be thrown out. That's why this wastewater has a chashivas. That's why if somebody carries it on Shabbos, he's going to be chay. So again, how much wastewater that's used to knead tit do you have to carry to be chayiv? A whole revius. But as it relates to the tit itself that was already kneaded, you know how much of it you have to carry in order to be chayiv? Could they lastly spend pikor enough to make an opening to a crucible? We spoke about this in the previous daf. But the bottom line is it's much less. So you see that the water that's used to knead the tit, I need to carry a whole revius of water. But when I carry the tit itself, it's considered chashev, even if it's much smaller than that. Now, how much water is in the tiny little bit of tit that's used? Could they last this bempi core? Much less than a revius. So then, why don't we say that being that I can use much less of a revius of water to be megabel tit, could they last this bempi core? Then I should already be chayev. The teretz is we look at it differently in its unnatural state, in its raw state, versus when it's fully processed. Again, Rav asked Rav Nachman, say the same thing regarding the arts. The Gemara says the same teretz for the third time. The only time a person will go through the headache and the process of kneading water with tit is if he has at least a shir revius. You're not going to take a tiny little bit of tit and go ahead and knead it. So once you have the tit, then yeah, you're going to use the tit. But to make the tit, you're going to only make it if it's a much larger shir. I mean that you're going to only make it if it's a much larger shir. So you need at least the revius of the shayfachim. That's why you only chayev if you carry a revius of shayfachim. Says the Gemara, ta shemat. Amar Rabbi Barami, Mishmeidu Ula. Shloisha Oyre is saying, there are three types of high. Or three stages. Matzah, v'chipa, v'diftar. Matzah, k'mashmoy. What does it mean, k'mashmoy? Matzah
is something that's very, very bland. And as a result, the matzah hide is when it was in a very bland state. The loy maliach, it wasn't salted. Udloy kamiach, it wasn't treated with flour. Udloy ofet, and it wasn't treated with gall nuts. So there were three steps in the process of making hide. They would salt it, then they would treat it with flour, and then with afatzim, with gall nuts, says the Gemara. Kamashiri. Okay, how much of it would you have to carry? Tani Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda gedei lots of bamish koilas kitana, enough to wrap a small weight in it. How small is that weight? What we mean? What is the definition of a small weight? Rabbi, a river, the river, the pumpadisa. That was a very small coin. Chipa, what's chipa? That's the second stage. The maliach, there was already treated with salt, but v'loy kamiach, v'loy afet. So it had the first level of treatment, but not the second two. Wasn't treated with flour yet or with gall nuts. V'kamashiri. How much of that do you have to carry to be chayv? It's a mishnah. Or kedei last. Is kameh. Oh, that's our mishnah. Diftera. What about diftera? That's the third stage. The maliach ukameach. However, v'loy afetz v'kamish yuroi k'day lichta v'lo v'saget. Has to be big enough for you to be able to write again. Now, what do you see from here? K'tani miyos. This seems to be mafurish. K'day lotzu by mishkoilus k'tano from abaya river de riva de pumpedisa. So, what do you see? That it's true. There's a shear of R that. In order for you to be chayiv, it has to be kidei lasis kameya. But that's when it's somewhat processed already. That's when it's chippa. But if it's matzah, if it's in the first stage, you haven't done, meaning it's not on any stage, you haven't done anything yet. So what's the halacha at that point? At that point, if you're going to carry it, it's going to have to be a bigger shear. You'll only be chayiv if it's big enough to wrap a mishkoilas ketana, which is the river, the pumpadisa, which is bigger than the kameya. The bottom line is you see, it's not the same shear. Checkmate, right? It seems to be a mefurish, a cheshbin, that's not like Rav Nachman. But the Gemara says, no, Hasam, over there it's different because there it's bibishula. The Gemara over there was discussing that the hide was still moist. Being that it was moist, it couldn't be tanned. Being that it couldn't be tanned, so therefore you couldn't give it its chashivas based on what would be once it's tanned, because right now it's in a state where it's moist. It had to dry before you were able to tan it. So being that right now, the way it is, you wouldn't be able to tan it, so therefore the halacha is, it's kedei, lotzur, the mishkoilis, which is the river, the pumpadisa. Had it been dry, then the halacha would be different. But the Gemara says, Vatanan, one final question. Habeged, shloishal, shloishal, medris. How big does a beged have to be? What's the minimum shear of a beged in order for it to be mekabel tumas medris? So the halach is 3 tefachim by 3 tefachim. Hasak arba laba. Sackcloth 4 by 4. Ha'or, if it's made out of hide, chamisha al chamisha. Mappets, if it's a mat, shisha al shisha. Bein lemedris, bein lemes. Now, Batani Allah, habeged, the hasak, the ha'or, kishir lutuma, kach shir lohitza. That the same shirum that you have over here as it relates to tuma are the shirum as it relates to the malacha of hoitza. So what do you see from here? That the shir hoitza as it relates to ar, is chamisha al chamisha. It has to be 5 tefachim, then 5 tefachim. Now, that's not the shir that we had in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah, we said, k'dei likshar to wrap a kameya, which is a smaller shir than 5 by 5. What must the difference be? Oh, the Mishnah's talking about where it was tanned. The Bryce over here, or this Mishnah, Mesachlis Kalim, is talking about where it was already, where it was untanned. Meaning there's enough gemina between if it was processed or if it wasn't processed. You see, it has to be that way, because otherwise you have a steer between two Mishnayas. Because you have a Mishnah, Mesachlis Shabbos, that says, what's the shear? Kedelasis Kameh. And here I have a Mishnah, Mesachlis Kalim, that says that it's 5 tefachim by 5 tefachim. 5 tefachim by 5 tefachim is the biggest shear. Must be, because we're talking about where it wasn't tanned yet. It was unprocessed. Also, you see, there's a difference between if it's unprocessed, which is not like Rav Nachman said. So the Gemara says again, a teretz ahu bekurtuvla. That Mishnah, Mesachtes Kalim, is talking about where the leather was boiled. Being that it was boiled, so at that point it couldn't be used anymore. It couldn't be treated in the same way. You couldn't use it as a cloth. You couldn't use it even to wrap a kameya. And it's for that reason, the shear has to be based on what it can be used for. And in order for that to have any level of chashivas, it would have to be 5 tefachim by 5 tefachim. Moving along in the Mishnah, very much me inyan le inyan, but isa inyan. So the Mishnah said, klaf, what's the shear? Klaf, kedei lichtav al parsha ketan. It has to be big enough or small enough for you to be able to write the parsha ketana shebet filin. What was the parsha ketana shebet filin? The Mishnah said, shehi shma Yisrael. So the tefillin had 4 parashas. The shortest parasha of tefillin is Shema Yisrael, which goes up until Uvisha Recha. So if the klaf is big enough for you to be able to write the parsha ketana, then the halacha is if you carry it, you're going to be chayv. Says the Gemara. Is that true for a minu? I'll ask you a kasha. Klav v'duchsustis, as it relates to a klav or a duchsustis, the shiris k'day lichtav al mezuzah. It has to be big enough for you to be able to write a mezuzah. Now, number one, what's a klav and what's a duchsustis? So it's going to be one of the topics here of the rest of the daf. So what the tanners used to do is they would take the hide, process it, and then they would cut it into two halves. And the outer part, meaning the part that's farthest from the animal, meaning the part of the skin that's to the outside of the animal, that you see that when you look at the animal, was called a klaf. The part of the hide that was to the inside of the animal, it touched the inner organs of the animal, that was called the duchsustus. And as we're going to see, there's nafkaminas and halacha between klaf and duchsustus as it relates to writing kisvei kodesh. But the Gemara's question is that you see from the Mishnah that as it relates to the shear of a klaf, it's not kidei lichtei parsha ketana shebet tefillin, but rather it's kidei lichtei vol of mezuzah. What's the difference? Mezuzah has two parshias on it. So the tefillin have four parshios. Tefillin Shel Reish anyways. So you have four separate parshiyos. If you have four separate parshiyos, so the parsha ketana, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. The tefillin has Shema Yisrael and Vahoyim. I mean, the mezuzah has Shema Yisrael and Vahoyim Shemaya all on one scroll. So does it have to be big enough for parsha ketana shebet tefillin? Or is it the mezuzah? The mezuzah is a larger share. We seem to have a steer. The Mishnah says, Klav kidei lichtaval of parsha ketana shebet tefillin. The Braisa says, Klav educh susos kidei lichtaval of mezuzah. So the Gemara says, my mezuzah, mezuzah shebet tefillin. A big chiddush. You know, mezuzah means, doesn't mean mezuzah that you put on your doorpost. Mezuzah over here means one of the scrolls. And it means the mezuzah of the tefillin. Faith the Gemara, v'kardu, the tefillin mezuzah. Whoever calls tefillin a mezuzah, the Gemara says, in. V'tanya, I'll show you a mefurish b'raisa. Ritzuyis tefillin, the ritzuyis of tefillin, im tefillin, if they're attached to the tefillin, metamis is sayudayim. So one of the yudches dvarim were that kisvei kodesh are metama the yadayim. So if somebody touches kisvei kodesh, his hands become a sheni latoma. So this Bryce is discussing that halacha. The ritzuos of the tefillin, while they're attached to the tefillin, are metama a person's hands. Bifnei atzman, if they're not attached, ein metama se yadayim. Shimon Yehudayim, Shimon Reb Shimon, hanegei ritzua tahar. You never tell me if you touch the ritzuos of the tefillin, atshiga b'ktitza. But if you touch the bias of the tefillin, then you're going to be tahar. Reb Zakkai, mishmoyoyim, Reb Zakkai said in the name of Reb Shimon Yechai, tahar atshiga b'mezuzah atzman. The only time you chayev for touching tefillin is if you touch the mezuzah of the tefillin. Oh, it's mefurish. So you see that the parsha of the tefillin is sometimes called mezuzah. So that braisa that says klaf v'duch sustus k'dei lichtav alav mezuzah doesn't mean mezuzah. It means tefillin, which is what the Mishnah said. Klaf k'dei lichtav alav parsha ketana shebet tefillin. But the Gemara says it doesn't work. I'll tell you why. Because that braisa has a seifa. The braisa that the Gemara brought, the first braisa, klaf v'duch sustav k'dei lichtav alav mezuzah. Midikton is safe for klaf k'dei lichtav alav parsha ketana shebet tefillin shishma Yisrael michal d'reish v'mezuzah atzma skinon. So you see clearly from the sefer that when the Reisha said mezuzah, it meant mezuzah. Because the sefer is talking about tefillin. So clearly the Reisha is mezuzah. So the Gemara says, Hadra kushal aduchte. We have a stira between the Mishnah and the Braisa. The Mishnah said, klaf k'dei lichtavala parashiktano. And then the Braisa and the Reisha said, klaf educhsusu k'dei lichtavala mezuzah. We wanted to say maybe mezuzah means tefillin. The problem is, the sefer of that Braisa says tefillin. So obviously mezuzah means mezuzah. But really we have another kasha. We have a kasha in the Braisa itself between the Reisha and the sefer. Because the Reisha, the Braisa says, klaf educhsusu k'dei lichtavala mezuzah. And then the Sefer, the Braisa says, Kidlaf, Kidei Lichtavala Parashat Tana Shebet Tefillin. So, which one is it? Is it the Mezuzah or is it the Parashat Tefillin? So, we really have two kashas over here. We have a kasha between our Mishnah and the Reisha of the Braisa, and we have a kasha between the Reisha and the Sefer of the Braisa. So, clearly, we're missing something. So, the Gemara says, Hachi Tani, this is the way you read the Braisa. Klaf viduch sustus, shiur and bekama. What's the shiur for a klaf and a duch sustus? Duch sustus, Kidei Lichtavala Mezuzah. The shiur of a duch sustus is to write a Mezuzah. Klaf, Kidei Lichtavala Parashat Tana Shebet Tefillin, Shishma Yisrael. So again, the Braisa was never Saisra itself, but the Braisa was like this. Klaf v'duch sustus, k'dei lichtaval mezuzah, referring to duch sustus. Klaf, k'dei lichtaval, parashat shana, as if klaf v'duch sustus is the heading. I'm going to tell you now, halacha that relates to klaf, halacha that relates to duch sustus, how much of it do you have to carry on Shabbos in order to be chai, what's the minimum shir chashav? For a duch sustus, it's the shir to write a mezuzah. For the klaf, it's to write the tefillin. So that answers the braisa, the stira between the reish and the seifa. It also answers the stira between the mishnah and the braisa. Because the mishnah is talking about a klaf. The klaf is the seifa of the braisa, which is k'dei lichtavala parashat ketana shebet tefillin. The Mishnah that said, or the Braisa, the part of the Braisa that said, that was discussing the Duchsostos. Good? So it sounds like at this point from the Braisa that the Klaf and the Duchsostos, again, the Klaf and the Duchsostos were both part of the hide. One was the outer part, one was the inner part. So it sounds like the Klaf was used to write fillin, and the Duchsostos was used to write the mezuzah. That's why the minimum shear for a Klaf is Parshik Tan of Tefillin. The minimum shear of a Duchsostos is a mezuzah. Amar Rav, on that note, Rav said, Duchsostos hareyu keklaf. Duchsostos is like a klaf. So the Gemara is going to now spend the rest of the Amar trying to figure out exactly what Rav meant. Says the Gemara, at first glance, I think what Rav meant to say was, Ma klaf koysan al Tefillin, just like you write Tefillin on a klaf, ach Duchsostos koysan al Tefillin, you write Tefillin on Duchsostos as well. What's the question? Tanan, the Mishnah said, klaf de lich dole parashik tanish of Tefillin, sheish ma Yisrael, klaf in Duchsostos loy. It sounds like only a klaf has the shear of the parsha ketana shel tefillin. It sounds like the chsustos has a different shear. What's the shear of the chsustos? Probably mezuzah. Why? Probably because you can't write tefillin on the chsustos. Now the Gemara asks from the Mishnah, which is just a diuk. Really, it's mefurish in the Braisa, because the Braisa just said, the way we explained it, that klaf and duchsusas have a different shear. Klaf is based on tefillin, duchsusas is based on mezuzah. So you see clearly that the minimum that you could do with a duchsustos is a mezuzah, because if you could write tefillin on duchsustos, then the minimum shear chashivas vayitzah on Shabbos would be a smaller shear. So how could Rav say duchsustos hareyu keklaf, that you could write tefillin on a duchsustos? If that's the case, that the minimum shear for vayitzah should be parshik tana shel tefillin, not mezuzah. So the Gemara says lemitzvah. Rav said that you can write tefillin on a duchsustos. He meant it b'diyeved, not l'chatchila. And says Rashi, people usually do the mitzvah min amufcha. They like doing the mitzvah l'chatchila. That's why if you have a klaf that's big enough to write tefillin, but not big enough to write mezuzah, if you have a duchsustos that's big enough to write tefillin, but not big enough to write mezuzah, you're not going to be chayav. Because even though technically you could write tefillin on it, so you'll say it's chashav, I could write tefillin on it. Yeah, but people don't do it, because it's not the mitzvah min amufchar. So being that it's not the mitzvah min amufchar, the halach is going to be potter. So you're right, you're potter if you carry a duchsustos that's big enough at tefillin, even though you could write tefillin on duchsustos, and the reason is because it's a bidiyevet. Tashma, halach l'mayish misinai, tefillin ala klaf, u'mezuzah ala duchsustos. Sounds pretty mefurish. Now the price continues. It says klaf b'makim basar, duchsustos b'makim say. When you write on a klaf, so you're supposed to write it on the makim basar, being that the klaf was on the outside. So therefore, when you wrote on the klaf, you're supposed to write on the part of the klaf that was exposed to the outside. Whereas the duchsustos is the inner part. So when you write on the inner part, you're supposed to write it on the inner side of the animal. But the point is that what do you see? You see from the first part of the Braisa, you see that tefillin ala klaf, u'mezuzah ala duchsustos. It's not like Rav. The Gemara says the mitzvah again. That Braisa is just telling me the l'katchila way to do it. But doesn't mean b'diavad it has to be that way. But the Gemara says, v'tanya, that same Braisa has a seifa, and it says, shina pasul. It says, if you flip it, it's a problem. Gemara says, a mezuzah. Meant mezuzah. Mezuzah meaning shina pasul. Mezuzah has to be on a duchsustos. It can't be on a klaf. That's not what Rav was saying. Rav was discussing, not mezuzah, he was discussing tefillin. And he said that just like you could write tefillin on a klaf, you could write tefillin on a duchsustos as well. But the Gemara says, "Vatan yoshino b'ze u'b'ze apostle." Sounds like even two shinuyim apostle. Meaning, what are the two shinuyim? Sounds like if you switch the mezuzah to the klaf, or the tefillin to the duchsustos, either way it's going to be possible. It's a kash on Rav. So Gemara says, no, either video, mezuzah, really, they're both going on the mezuzah. But the gasfinu a klaf, b'malkam seir, inami a duchsustos b'malkam basar. Klaf, tefillin, you can write on what you want, either a klaf or a duchsustos. When the Braisa says Shin Apostle was discussing Hilchas Mezuzah, Mezuzah has to be written on the duchsustos. If you write it on the klaf, it's going to be possible. Additionally, if you would write it on a duchsustos, but on the wrong side of the duchsustos, we said that it has to be in the Makom Seir, in the wrong side of the duchsustos, that also would be possible. The Iba is saying, the Gemara says, or you could say like this, really, Shina Bezeh Bezeh, Tanoihi, maybe, you're right, Shina Bezeh Bezeh does in fact mean that if you switch the Mezuzah to the klaf, or the tefillin to the duchsustos, it's going to be possible. If that's the case, it doesn't stim with Rav. True, we don't like having braises not like Rav. Even though Rav can argue with the braises, he's a tanu polog, but it's always a last resort. But could be, says the Gemara, it's really machlokes tanon. And being that Rav would have a tana supporting him anyways, so it doesn't bother me. The tanya, shina b'zeh b'zeh, possible. Rav acha machsher,
in the case where the tefillin was written on the duchsostos. Mishum Rabbi Achi Bar Chanina, he didn't just say it by himself. He said in the name of Rabbi Achi Bar Chanina. Some say he said Mishum Rabbi Yaakov Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Papa said a third teretz. Rav the Omer Ketanad Be Menashe. Maybe Rav was going like Tanad Be Menashe. Again, Rav's chiddush was that even though this brayse is for sholach atchila, tefillin is supposed to be written on cloth and mezuzah is supposed to be written on duchsostos, but b'di'evit if you wrote tefillin on duchsostos, it's going to be okay. At first glance, there seems to be a brayse not like Rav. Which brisa? The brisa says cloth is tefillin, duchsusas is mezuzah, shina bezeu bezeu apostles. At first glance, it sounds like it's a problem. So the first teretz the Gemara said was shina bezeu bezeu is all a mezuzah, different types of shinuyim and mezuzah. But maybe tefillin, there's no problem if you're mishana. Second teretz the Gemara said was there is a brisa that says shina bezeu bezeu kosher. So maybe Rav held like that brisa. Third teretz the Gemara says that Rav held like tana be menashe kosval aniyar. If somebody would write tefillin on a niyar, well that. Or vala matlis, or he would write it on a piece of linen. Psul alachos would be possible. Ala klaf, vala gvil. If somebody would write it on klaf or gvil, what's gvil? Gvil is when you didn't cut the hide into two. So the hide was cut into two. The klaf and the duchsusas. What if you didn't cut it into two? Then it's called a gvil. Or vala duchsusas, kshera, it's going to be kosher. So again, we're talking about some kisvei kodesh. Kosval and yar vala matlis psula. If you wrote it on klaf or gvil or duchsusas, always going to be kosher. Sounds like we don't care. Doesn't matter. You just can't write it on a yar or matlis. You can't write a piece of paper. Some type of kisvei kodesh. But if you write it on a klaf, it doesn't matter if it's the klaf or the duchsostos or the gvil. They're both combined. Either way, it's going to be fine. So he says, kosfamai, what did you write? Ilei mezuzah. Did you write mezuzah? Mezuzah, klaf, mikosfina. Mezuzah, we said, for sure is not good. Elolav, tefillin. Oh, said some mefurish, a brisa like Rab. The Gemara says, litamech, according to tefillin, gvil, mikosfina. Does anybody hold you could write tefillin on gvil? Nobody holds that. Meaning, Rab was mechadish, you could write tefillin on duchsostos. No one ever said you could write it on the gvil. Eli, you have to say, Kitanya, he was saying, Torah. That brisa was talking about a sefer Torah. Sefer Torah is different. Actually, more kuladig. You could write it on klaf, tuchsusas, or gvil, and all you have to do is Rav Zalacha. Zokti Gemara, Lema, Misayele. At first glance, we would seem to have a raya to Rav, so we asked a big kasha on Rav, three terutza maybe had to answer the kasha, but now the Gemara says maybe we actually have a raya to Rav. Kayoitza boy, tefillin shabalu, v'sefer Torah shabalu, if tefillin goes bad, or sefer Torah, right, starts wearing out, ein ois ma'am mezuzah, you're not making mezuzah, l'fisha ein marida, mikdusha chamur, l'kdusha kal, zalocha ma'ilam b'kodesh ve'maridin. So if you have tefillin that was bala, or a sefer Torah that was bala, you can't use it for a mezuzah, because tefillin and a sefer Torah is considered more kaddish than a mezuzah. So you can't use it for mezuzah. So the Gemara brings like a shmaka raya to Rav. Taima de meridin. It sounds like the only reason you can't use tefillin for mezuzah is because it's a halacha of ma'ilim b'kodesh, a meridin. And tefillin is more kaddish than mezuzah. Ha meridin. Let's say the halacha would be, you could be married b'kedusha. Oysen, you'd be able to use it. How could you use it? If tefillin has to be written on cloth, and mezuzah has to be written on duchsustos, so tefillin can never be kosher from mezuzah. What do you mean? Tefillin went bad, let me use it for a mezuzah. How am I going to use it for a mezuzah? It's written on a cloth. It doesn't go that way. Dechsiv amai. So the mezuzah must be, lav dechsiv aduchsustos. You must have written the tefillin on the duchsustos, which is where you're supposed to write the mezuzah, and it's a raya to Rav, that even though l'chatchila you're supposed to write the tefillin on a cloth, but the evidence, if you write the duchsustos, it's going to be okay. The mezuzah says, loy, dechsiv al cloth. Maybe really you wrote on the cloth. So the mezuzah says, what's going on over here? Mezuzah on cloth, because I thought you can never write mezuzah on the cloth. So if you wrote on the cloth, how are you using for a mezuzah? Gemara says, in. All of a sudden, at the end of the sugya, the Gemara says, I actually have another tana. But tanya we learned in a braisa, kosva la cloth. If somebody wrote a mezuzah on klav, vala matlis, psula, amrav Shimon ben Elazar, Rameyer, who was a famous cipher, Rameyer, hoya kois vala klav, mebneshna mishtameris, that you're allowed to write a mezuzah on the klav, you are allowed to write a mezuzah on the klav, we have a mefurish Rameyer that says you write a mezuzah on the klav, so that price is not a riot to Rav, because you see in the price you can use the same thing for a tefillin and a mezuzah, we assumed it's for sure duchsustos, because till now the whole shiloh was whether you could write tefillin on duchsustos, there's never a shiloh if you could write mezuzah on a klav. Right? The Shiloh was in the reverse. Says the Gemara, no, there really is a Rameyer. Rameyer, who was a very famous cipher, he used to write the mezuzah on a klaf. Says the Gemara, hashta, the asas la'achi. Now that we said that, at the very end of the sugya, we come around. Rav nami lo yitem et duchsus zareyek klaf. Let's revisit Rav. What did Rav say in the beginning of the sugya? All Rav said was, duchsus zareyek klaf. We assumed that what he meant to say was, that even though l'chatchila tefillin klaf, mezuzah on duchsustos, but probably what he meant was that you can write a tefillin on a duchsustos if you would like to. Because we thought for sure you can't write mezuzah on a cloth. What he's probably saying is you can write tefillin on duchsustos. And based on that, we had a kasha, and we had a whole sugi understanding Rav. But says the Gemara, now that you're telling me that there's a Rameyer who was a soifer, and hoya koisva mezuzas ala klaf, vipneishim ishtameris, because it held better. He felt that that was the better way to do it. Maybe that's what all Rav meant. The Rav Nami, loy temo duchsusas areyuk a klaf. Maybe he never meant to say duchsusas is like a klaf. Eleim a klaf areyuk a duchsusas. He meant to say in the reverse. Ma duchsusas koisva nala mezuzo, af klaf koisva as a mezuzo. Maybe he never held you could write full on duchsusas. What he meant to say was that you can write a mezuzo on the klaf. So again, what we had over here was a little bit of a digression discussing halachos related to writing Kisvei Kodesh, tefillin, mezuzahs, and a Sefer Torah. So we know that Kisvei Kodesh are written on parchment. Parchment comes from animal hide. They would skin an animal, some of the Lamentes Malachas involved, and that's what they would use to write Kisvei Kodesh. Stating that, we had three categories of klaf, quote-unquote, as it relates to writing Kisvei Kodesh. Typically, what the skinner and the tanner would do is he would remove the hide and cut into two halves. The outer half is what's known as klaf. The inner half is what's known as the duchsustas. Tefillin lechatchila are supposed to be written on klaf. Mezuzah lechatchila are supposed to be written on duchsustas. This is all halacha l'moshe misinai. Sefer Torah could be written either on klaf or on duchsustas or on gvil, which is where you use the parchment, the hide, without ever cutting it in half. The question is, what happens b'di'evid? What would be if I would write tefillin on a duchsustas? What would be if I wrote mezuzah on a klaf? Rav made a comment, duchsustas areyuk klaf. The Gemara assumed for sure what he meant was that you could write tefillin on a duchsustas, because there's no havamin you could write mezuzah on the klaf. After the whole sugya, what the Gemara came out with is that's not so pashut. Meaning there's for sure shitas that hold you could write mezuzah on a klaf, and there's for sure shitas that hold you could write tefillin on a duchsustas. Why are we talking about this in Masechta Shabbos? Because we're discussing the halachas of the minimum sheer chashav of certain items as it relates to Yisrael. So if somebody carries a klaf, how big or how small would it have to be in order for you to be chayev? So the answer is small enough for you to write the smallest parsha. What's the smallest parsha? If I can write tefillin, the smallest parasha will be the smallest parasha of the tefillin. Shema Yisrael up until Levisharecha. If I can only write a mezuzah, then the smallest parasha would be twice the size, because I have to write Shema and I have to write Vahayim Shema as well. So a chapsa nafkamina as it relates to Melachos of Aitzah, whether I can write tefillin on a tuchsustos, I can write mezuzah on a klaf. So that's where these things all play themselves out. Either way, that was the sugya.